to the Voice Over Work podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Newton Media Group, a family of creative services. This is Monday, April 5th, 2021. On the podcast today, we introduce another new book that is now available on audible.com. For Position Only, Truth, Lies, and Love in Advertising, Book 2. Written by Adele Royce. Narrated by Russell Newton for Hot Ghost Productions. I pulled on the silk olive green robe that hung near the shower and sifted through my long rectangular walk-in closet. I passed my hand along the vast assortment of custom-made Italian suits, color-sorted from dark to light. As I did this, the tassel cord belt on my robe kept coming untied, causing the robe to gap open. Each time this happened, I'd yank the two ends of the cord, pull them together, and tie them in a knot. The cord situation was getting on my nerves, which were already frazzled. The robe was a frivolous purchase for my last trip to Rome. I always loved the way the Italians dressed. It was what originally attracted me to my ex-wife, Alessandra. She was born in Rome and had the innate sensibilities and taste in fashion that imbued most Italians from an early age. I took the time every morning to go through my suits, one by one, to determine which conspired with the plans on my calendar. Once I selected a suit, I moved to the ties, then to the shirts, shoes, and finally belts. The shoes determined the belt, so belts were always last. It was important I select the right combination today because I was meeting with Warren for the first time in at least 2 years since I bought out his agency. I was going to have to prostrate myself to sell him on an idea. I needed to wear something that was understated yet elegant, confident but not arrogant. A dark navy suit said class but still demanded attention. The tie was another story altogether. I went through the display of silk ties, a wall of shelves with infinite tiny square compartments cradling each individual tie, again arranged by color, so I could easily move to the palette of choice. Red would scream power, but it was such a cliche. I wouldn't own a red tie unless it had some form of pattern. Solid red ties were for wannabe politicians and car salesmen. I moved to the blue section and found one that only whispered power because it was pale blue with a tiny thread of red woven inconspicuously into the fabric. This was the right one. Once I was fully dressed, I gave myself a once-over in the full-length mirror. Not bad, I thought. I had inherited Don's looks, which was both a help and a hindrance. It subjected me to labels like pretty boy and girly when I was younger. People immediately focused on my light jade eyes and the long lashes that any woman would die for. I had to work harder to prove my masculinity. By college, the braces that had rendered me a complete nerd in high school gave me teeth that rivaled a toothpaste model. I discovered my looks were an asset in every way, both in school with female professors and out of school when applying for jobs. I leaned into the sink and washed my hands one last time. It was the seventh time I'd washed them since getting out of bed, not including my morning shower. As soon as I was satisfied that I looked the part to win Warren over, I sauntered toward the front door of my Malibu home. I glanced at my living room, which was just off the entryway, and noticed one of the black pillows on my massive creme-colored suede sectional was not evenly spaced with the other pillows. I sighed and advanced to the offending pillow, almost tripping over one of a trio of zebra print ottomans. After I moved the pillow to the appropriate place, I realized the dimmer switch on the chandelier was left on. It was barely lit. The chandelier was a holdover from my old apartment in Brentwood. It was custom designed, made of Murano glass and imported from Venice. It was the centerpiece of my living room, with its long, octopus-like rolling limbs extending outward as though holding up flame-lit tips. While it was a bitch to move, I wanted it for my new home. I located the light switch and pushed it into the off position. Before I passed the entryway to the front door, I stopped and picked up a framed photo of my older brother, Donovan James Keller, or DJ as we called him. I did this every morning and felt the same tingling in my hands, the crippling sensation of knowing I would never see him again. I started the photo ritual many years ago. It was something Alessandra had scolded me for. She thought it was masochism, an act of emotional cutting, as she always accused. Please be sure to visit Amazon.com or Audible.com for more information on this book and the author. Show notes and further information can be found at RussellEricNewton.com. With an eclectic collection of insights, knowledge, and trivia from some of the newest audiobooks on the market, this has been the Voice Over Work podcast, brought to you.